gentle when we get in class?
You got your first year or second year? You don't have a second year.
They don't trust me with first grade. Okay, so again, I wanted to be mamshich with the Inyanim of Geiris. First, again, the most controversial issue in Geiris is the requirement of Kabbalah's mitzvot. And here, I want to make 2 points again. Remember, Chaim Eiser's very path-breaking insight that Kabbalah's mitzvot, at least b'di'evet, is not the same as Shmiras mitzvot. According to Chaim Eiser, if a ger is, or a candidate for geiris, believes that the Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that a yid is mechuyev to keep, just like us. I mean, you know, hopefully we all believe in Torah Minashamayim. If we then are asked, do we keep every single mitzvah? You know, the answer is sometimes not. So Chaim Eiser says, even on an ikur, b'di'evet, this is a big chiddush, even on an ikur, even like Shabbos and Shabbos, if the pshat is, be'emet he's maimin, that is mechuyev. But the Yetzer Hara is so powerful. Now, we're not supposed to be Megayrim. Rav Chaim Eiser's made it to that. But b'di'evet, Rav Chaim Eiser says, there's not a chisaron in Kabbalah's mitzvahs. This is a very, very important insight, at least b'di'evet. And the reason why it's b'di'evet is because, like this, if you're on a beis din for gear, and the question is, should I be Megayrim somebody who doesn't keep kosher? The answer is, of course not. But here is the problem that you're going to face. You're not going to face so much, who are you going to be Megayer? You're going to face congregants, as I did myself, who have been from all of their lives, whose grandmother, whose mother's mother, converted to Yiddishkeit, you know, 50 years ago. And now there's a whole shaila, is the Geiris of 50 years ago a valid Geiris if the grandmother was not so religious? Now, the emes is, Rav Chaim Eiser is not a panacea, because in a lot of cases, you're going to discover they weren't Shmaimin and Termin and Shmaim either, and then you're in big trouble. Then you're in big trouble. But l'chala pachas, when Rav Chaim Eiser's inyan applies, it is a tremendous, tremendous kula that one can. Yeah. Rav Chaim Eiser, you know, is kind of whatever he says is accepted. Not everything, but even Rav Moshe, who except for anyone after the Chassam Sofer, Rav Moshe doesn't use. I mean, Chassam Sofer is normally the last acharon that Rav Moshe Soimechan. With the exception of Achiezer, Chaim Eiser, he says this gadol kocho bahara that he accepts. Yeah, what do you think?
I'm saying, how can you know 50 years in advance what kind of geiris it was?
No, you don't. I mean, no, you have to be derish for chayker. I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but you know, you're derish for chayker, and you try to find out. I will tell you something else, though, that you have to know psychologically. You have to be a shtickle psychologist here. I had a family. In which the mother was from all of her life, and the kids were from B'nai Torah, and she was the daughter of a woman who converted, who also, but when I knew the woman was alive still, the grandmother was alive, she was, you know, Shomer Shabbos, but it turned out that in the earlier years of her marriage, she was not a Shomer Shabbos, meaning after her geirah, she was not a Shomer Shabbos. So Mimela, the question becomes, is the mother Jewish? Are the daughters Jewish? It's very okay, Lemaisa, a lot of things. So the hachra that we came out with was, we told the daughters that when they were into Shiduchim, that listen, you know, probably things are okay, but maybe they're not okay, so you might as well, you know, go to the mikveh, gir l'chumra. So you have to understand the difference between cool halachic judgment and psychologically what it means to somebody. It sounds like a very easy thing. You tell a young woman who's 20 years old, who's been keeping mitzvahs all over, you know, listen, just go to the mikveh, it'll be 10 minutes and everything will be fine. But what are you saying? He's saying, for the past 20 years, there's a bit of a cheshash, you're not Jewish. I mean, the kids almost had a nervous breakdown. It was very, very, very traumatic. This is not a pashut as that. In other words, a rav can easily say, gir l'chumra, you know, no big deal. But you have to understand that...
Can you throw it into the mikveh that she goes to before she gets married?
Yeah, but it has to be l'shem, gerst, it has to be a based in also. You can't just hide it, you can't just, you know, make believe. I mean, you need a based in there and everything else. So you have to know, So in this family in particular, I can tell you, some girls went to the mikveh, some girls didn't go to the mikveh. The mother never went to the mikveh to do her gear. You know, so it's a matzah. There's a lot of things in Klal Yisrael. What do they say? The famous Otto von Bismarck once said, who's a famous German leader in the 19th century, that there are two things you never want to see how they're made. You don't want to see sausage made, hot dogs, or whatever, and you don't want to see how laws are made, because then you'll just won't be able. So I would say, too, that there are certain corners of Klal Yisrael that we sometimes... and Chazal even said this, Mishpacha shenitzma'an, nitzma'an. That's a tes memayin, meaning when things are totally mixed up, we're not always Jarish v'chaykev. Gemara even says there were certain mishpachas that the Chachamim knew had pegamim, but that were not known to anybody. It's hard to know exactly what the right to do that is, but it's brought down that they were not Nefarsim.
You'll tell us that Talmidim, no?
Yeah, Bitsina, people ask a Shaila, should I have a Shidduch? But you're not Nefarsim. So this is going to be a tough...
If you say, now Geras Mafreya, even though Shas was Geras, she wasn't having mitzvahs, but now...
L'chayre, that's not Shayach at all. Unless you say, again, the problem would be this. There is a tzad. The tzad would be... Actually, what you said, if later she was taivo al tairas mishpacha, and there's an anan sade that she was keeping tairas mishpacha, that might blab a tefillah l'shem geiris. The Gemara in the Chaylitz has the zasvara that a person who mistakenly thinks they're Jewish and they're taivo al tairas mishpacha, assuming that this is yadua to a basedin, yadua, even if they weren't there, so there's a svara that gufa is a kabbalas mitzvah. So there are tzadim. Now that doesn't mean you're machshir the geris l'mafreya. That's mikanu l'haba. But from the tefillah l'shem taras mishpacha, you could be machshir him. So on a b'dieved level, even without Rav Chaim Eicher, you know, you have a zas svar. Okay. Now let me just mention an interesting.
Can we discuss, whether it's a good idea to look to make gear or not, what the sources are on the matter?
This too is a machlokas between halacha, so to speak, and historians. Historians will tell you that Jews used to be very, very active in proselytization, but they stopped because the Romans made it a capital crime to convert somebody to Judaism. And they say all the Gemaras and all the Chazals that say you have to discourage Gerim and you don't do it, etc., was a response, so to speak, to the historical pressure of the Roman government. This is what academic historians say, so at least be aware of that. I have to say that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim, and the Paiskim do not accept that Havana of the Gemara, and they understand that Be'etzem, we don't, number one, we don't encourage, and number two, we actively discourage to determine sincerity. But even there, even with that halacha psuka that we discourage Gior, there are Yaisei Min HaKlal.
Let's see, discouraging gear, is that a riot that we don't want gear, or it's just a riot that we want them to be sincere?
You're asking me, Be'etzem, do we... No. So that I would say, I would not say we don't want Gerim. I would say that's incorrect. There's a Gemara that says that the reason Klal Yisrael was Nispazer to the four corners of the world is that we should have Gerim who come to us, who are exposed to Judaism and come to us. So you have a good point. The notion of discouraging Gior is not because we don't want them, but we want to be sure that the people we have are sincere. So we have to tell them the worst part of being, you know, all the disadvantages of being a Jew. There actually is a Gemara. Now, on the other hand, like many things, there are contradictory musagim in Chazal. There's a Gemara in Yevamos that says, Koshim Gerim LeYisrael Kisapachas. What does that mean? Converts, Gerim, are as difficult for the Jewish people as leprosy. Sapachas is saras. But listen to this. There's a machlekes in Taisus. What's so bad about Geirus? And as I said, that's a very negative statement. They're like leprosy. Who wants them? One pshat is, a lot of them are amaratzim. A lot of them are insincere. They're mekalkel. They bring in people who don't care about Torah. On the other hand, Taisus then brings a pshat, b'shem Rabbi Avram Hager, who says, Geirim are bad for the Jewish people because they're so medakdek in mitzvahs, they make the rest of us look bad. So therefore, Chazal are actually indirectly mishabeach the Geirim. Now the truth of the matter is, this is really pashut, not a machloka so much, I think, as elav elav divrei elokim chayim, meaning to say, yeah, you got both situations. You got the type of geir that is just, even if the geir is good b'di'evet, and a lot of times it's not a geir staka, that is mashchis, and then you have geirim and rusa moavia, right? Mashiach is going to come from the zera of geirim. But I do want to point out that there are two cases where the Paiskim say we actually try to encourage a conversion, but only if the guy is sincere or the person is sincere. One is in the case of chaval and intermarriage that's already taken place. If God forbid, you have a Jew married a guy, it makes no difference which one, man, woman, etc. So there is a musug that in such a situation, although we would never do a fake conversion, although in-laws or parents are often asking for that, but you know, you can't do an insincere fake conversion just to make the guy Jewish or make the woman Jewish. That would be a sham, and that would be puzzle, legamri. But you're allowed to be matzil, the Jewish person, from being nimshach bi'aveira. You're allowed to try to genuinely encourage the other side, plus the Jewish side, of course, for Shteitzach, to learn about Judaism, and you can plant positive feelings about them. Which is why this creates a bit of a double entendre, so to speak, meaning like this. Before the guy gets married, just for a mush, we'll take a guy. Before the guy gets married to the guy, you know, you got to say, bad, 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 you know, get away, get away, get away, get away. But once you know they're going to get married, it's pumpakir. In the olden days, people used to sit shiva, etc. Now they say fakir. It's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky paskind, other gedolim paskind, that you have to try to be makarev, number one, the Jewish person, and number two, you even try to be makarev, the non-Jewish person, to try to get him or her interested in Yiddishkeit. Because if they're going to stay married anyway, or not, I shouldn't call it marriage, but if they're going to stay together anyway, you try to be matzah. This is certainly going to be the case where the woman is Jewish, because then you have to also worry about the grandchildren. You see, if the woman is Jewish, the Einichlich are going to be Yidden. If the Einichlich are going to be Yidden, so for sure you have to try to be Makar. But they say even in the other side, to be Matzil the Yid from Chait, you know, you could be encouraged here. This is a famous tshuva. The one who's Marich in this is Rav David Hoffman. In Melamed Lahaya, you heard of Rav David Hoffman? He's very actually someone you should be aware of. Rav David Hoffman was the leading paisek in Germany after Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch was nifter. He was the head of the Hildesheimer Seminary in Berlin, and he was succeeded by Rav Chaim Yaakov Weinberg, the three day age. So Rav David Hoffman was before. So again, he was he had a college degree, he had a PhD. He was one of the first really gedolei Torah, very few, can count them on a single hand, who actually dealt with the challenges of Bible criticism that were very popular in Germany then, Wellhaus, and it was very popular. In fact, the whole idea of Bible criticism, the Torah was written by man at different times, this was Nischadesh at the end of the 19th century in Germany, and still going on in different guises. And in most of the religious world, we just don't address it. Dr. Rav Cook gave a haskamah at Hebrew University on the Tanai. They don't teach Bible criticism. They broke their word, but okay. But Rav David Hoffman actually addresses the tainus of Bible criticism. But he was also a very chashuva paisek, and Melamed Lahayel is a sefer of tshuvas that people still use. And the like. So he's talked about encouraging geirus when there's intermarriage, with the warning, of course, that the geirus has to be sincere. I will tell you, lemaisa, This is a good. This tends to work when the woman is the non-Jew. Paradoxically, it's very, very interesting. In other words, if you're asking me, does this ever work out in a good way? If Chas V'Shalom, there's an intermarriage, you know, is there a way that you know you'll get everybody from and converted and everything good? Usually, if it works, I mean, usually it doesn't work. But when it works, the miyuta that it works is when the woman is the guy. What's the pshat? Because like this, the woman is the dominant koach. With all of the tainus that Judaism is anti-feminism, you know, it's a davar pashut and shteit in Chazal that a Russia that's married to a tzadekes will become a tzadek, and a tzadek that's married to a rashas will become a Russian. And there's no question that the ruchnius of a man will be based on the woman. I mean, this is a davar. I'm not saying there's no exceptions to that either, but this is the way it works. So Memela, you have to understand, when a woman marries a Jew, that's because there's something that's attracting her to Judaism. So she will often be the kayach that can bring her husband over. There's the guy will make the Jew from. if the woman is Jewish and she's marrying out, she's looking to be a goya. Now, it might be that the man is looking, he's interested in Judaism, but she'll just take him away from it because she'll be the bigger mashpia. So, in many, many ways, it's easier to help people in an intermarriage where the woman is the guy as opposed to where the man is the guy. But okay, but be it as it may. Now, there's a second case where we encourage conversion, but this is more controversial. This is a chiddush. I mean, it's not a chiddush. It's a psakir of Yaakov Kanevsky, but there are makairis earlier, and this is a new idea, now, a relatively new musa called Zera Yisrael. Now, Zera Yisrael basically says that even if a mother is a goy, but a father is a Jew, so the kid is a goy, but since Mitzad Aviv, he is miyuchas to Am Yisrael, he is, as it were, on some level, part of the Jewish nation. And because he's part of the Jewish nation, we are allowed, and even there's a mitzvah, to try to be makariv and bring them back. Now, this is actually part of what's going on with the Russian Jews. Part of the situation with many, many Russian Jews is that their mothers either were not converted or were improperly converted, but the father might be Jewish. And those in the Rabbanut that argued for greater leniency are using the Zera Yisrael argument. Now, the reason why that's not a good argument is Zera Yisrael is not a leniency in Hilchos Geiris. You can't dispense with Kabbalah's mitzvahs. You can't say, I'll Zera Yisrael, you know, you don't have to be Mekabbalah mitzvahs. Zera Yisrael just says, I can be more proactive in encouraging people to convert, but I still cannot be Megayer them until they're sincere.
What's the sources for Zera Yisrael? How early does it go?
In a sense,
is it
Gemaris
or is it like
Achrayim
or
Nishayim? No, it's really from the Achrayim. It is a new concept, but they go back to the Makaris, for example. They mentioned the Ramban. The Ramban says, Kaidem Matan Torah, you were a Yid based on your father. And they say that Inyan still remains even after Matan Torah. The Ramban does say Mefarish, Kaidem Matan Torah, Yichus was based on the father. You may have heard, I don't know if you follow politics, you shouldn't follow politics, but around a few years ago, there was a Sephardic Rav who broke with Shas, and he tried to make his own party. He was not Masliach, but more moderate.
Amshalom.
A Moroccan Rav. And again, he's a chashuv person. He wrote, I mean, now he's persona non grata because he was married against Rav Avadya, so, you know, that's a very, very serious thing. But, you know, he was well-regarded. He was a Makuriv to Rav Avadya. So he wrote a big, big two-volume, I have to go back, I haven't looked at it recently, a big two-volume sefer called Zera Yisrael, in which he's makabates all of the makairis. So I'll go back and see exactly but I think as a solid makor in halacha, it's really only from the Achrayim. In other words, you have all sorts of gemaras that talk about this and that and that and that that you can use as svaras, but as a halachic concept, it is a relatively recent thing. Now, let me share with you a vort from the Brisker Rav on Chumash that's very, very interesting. It seems, Lenius Daiti, that the Brisker Rav is essentially saying what Rav Chaim Eiser said, which is interesting, because you normally... See, La Halacha, I don't know if the Brisker Rav would be machmir to Rav Chaim Meiser, because the Brisker Rav was extremely machmir. Rav Chaim Meiser is being very makel here. But the way the Brisker Rav learns the psukim, it kemat comes out exactly with Rav Chaim Meiser's psat. The Brisker Rav asks the following kasha. If you look at Matan Torah, you find that Matan Torah is divided into two different narratives. In Parshas Yisrei, Moshe Rabbeinu prepares them for Matan Torah, and then we have the Aseret Dibros, and then at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, there are more details that are given, the building of a Mizbeach. And according to Rashi, this didn't happen after the Aseret Dibros. According to Rashi, all of those things were also before. Ein, what Rashi says based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Ein Mukdam Umocher B'Torah. So the question is, why is it bifurcated? Why if it all happened the same time, why does the Torah separate them? Another kasha. In Yisrei, when the Yidden are told about that Hashem wants to give them the Torah, they say, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nase. Whatever Hashem says, we will do. They didn't say Nase V'Nishma. In Punktin Mishpatim, it has the famous pasuk, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nase V'Nishma. So Zakta Brisker Rav, in Kabbalah Satayra, there are two dinim. And that's why the Torah splits it into two parshias, because Kabbalah Satayra has two different dinim. Kabbalah Satayra, on one hand, is a promise that we will keep Hashem's Torah. We will keep Hashem's Torah. On the other hand, Kabbalah Satayra is also a maisa of geirus. This you see beferish in the Gemara Nacholetz, that the halachas of geiris are learned out of Matan Torah. Just like Matan Torah, there was mila in Mitzrayim. There was tevila, that's the chibsu simlaisam. And there was kabbalas mitzvahs, and there was also a korban, it was mana mikdash geiris to bring a korban. So all the halachas of geiris learned out of Matan Torah. So Zakta Brisker Rav, what's the nafgamina between the promise to keep the Torah and the chalais of geiris? Zakta Brisker Rav, the promise to keep the Torah is a hischayvus bapayel, I will do the mitzvahs. The promise of a ger is simply, I consider the mitzvahs binding. Maybe I'm not going to do them. So itaynes, Parshas Yisrei is the promise to keep the Torah. That's why it says, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nase. But Parshas Mishpatim is Matan Torah as a Chalais Geiris. As a Chalais Geiris, Nase V'Nishma, the way he interprets it is, we will try to do it, V'Nishma, meaning we hear it, we're Makabel it, we consider it binding. So it seems to me, if I understand the board correctly, he's actually saying Rav Chaim Meiser's din, that Kabbalah Samitzvahs is not the same as Shmiritzus. Now again, if you're asking me Lamaisa, would the Brisker Rav be Machshir Egeiris, where there was no Shmiras HaMitzvahs, my guess is he would not. But at least in the Chumash, this is how he is interpreting. In fact, the Brisker Rav, as far as I know, I mean, I don't think the Brisker Rav probably ever did a Geiris. He was Masalik himself from all of those in Yanu. Okay, now let me mention an opposite question, which is very, very fascinating. And I actually had this problem. From Rav Chaim Meiser, we have a kula that even if you're not keeping the mitzvahs, but if you consider the mitzvahs a chiyuv, that's a good Kabbalah's mitzvah. What about the opposite? What about somebody who keeps all the mitzvahs but doesn't believe anything? I'll give you a
take. That's not keeping mitzvahs.
Well, that's the question. Can somebody be and not be kairos, but keeps all the mitzvahs? I mean, it's a shiloh by a Jew too, but a Jew is still a Jew. So let me tell you an actual case. I knew a man. I know a family. A man married a Japanese woman, and had two kids. And you know, the man was not religious. He married her as a guy. She was a guy. It's just an intermarriage. In the course of the marriage, through Chabad or whatever it is, he became more and more frum. He became a Shomer Shabbos, a Shomer Kashrus, Tyrus HaMishpacha. Even Tyrus HaMishpacha. She's a guy. But you know, Japanese wives, they're not like American women. Japanese wives are very, very deferential to their husbands. Husband doesn't want, you know, relations for 12 days a month and she has to go to a mikvah, you know, she'll do that because she wants to make her husband happy. So at some point I said to him, you know, listen, she's doing everything. She's doing everything. But, you know, it's still an intermarriage and she's not getting schar for this. Let her be Magayer. She's doing everything. But it turned out like this. The problem was, number one, she didn't want to hurt her parents' feelings. If she'd become, she's trying to make everybody happy. She wants to make her husband happy. She mamish keeps tyrus and mishpacha. And she wants to make her parents happy, you know.
Does it work that she's not a midah midrabanan anymore if she doesn't have a mikvah? No, for real. Because midrabanan, she's a midah, right? Even though she's a gaita.
Yes, that's correct.
So does it help this, the whole tyrus mishpacha?
Well, you're right. You're right. He wouldn't get chorus for being by Anita. That's correct.
So
that's
it
correct.
Is something. I mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But living with the guys.
Something.
What did somebody say?
The Rebbe was telling us.
But he certainly wouldn't give that idea. He wouldn't tell a person. Well, one second. This is an actual shell. Somebody asked Rebbe Kamenetsky. If a guy is going to be bio be iser. Is it better for him to be Bayal, a Jewish woman who's a Nida, or to live with a Goya? You're right. So, but Rabbi Yaakov Kornetsky said it's a Dover Pashat, being with a Goya is worse.
Really? Why? What's the issue?
It's interesting.
No, says, okay,
in terms of pure... The Navi... Okay, here's the thing. In terms of an actual love... The love of Nida is more chomer. It's very interesting. The love of Nida is more chomer. 100% correct. But the Navi, Malachi, describes marrying a Goya as a Begida. Begida is an act of treason. It's interesting. This is a very interesting idea. That's something that in the pure halachic calculus is actually not as severe. In a ruchniistic way, it is more severe.
And we take this practically as well?
The Yaakov said it halacha l'maisa, yeah.
Better with a Jewish...
Better to be bayal nida than to be bayal l'goya. Yeah.
So it's funny that, in like some place, some interesting kind of school, his Rebbe used to tell them that it's better to be with the goya, because if they're with the Jewish woman, then they're harming the Jewish woman.
That's an interesting story. In other words, you also have to worry about what you're doing to somebody else. I hear, but Rav Yaakov said chayecha kaitman, so you have to worry about what's going to be masagir the most. And the Jewish woman has her bechira. You're not raping her. You know, I mean, she should take care of herself. You know, I mean, I hear. I mean, I'm not dismissing it, but. That's a very altruistic thing, meaning if I'm going to ruin myself, at least I shouldn't take somebody else down. Mm-hmm. Down too. I hear. That's an interesting spark.
So same with the Japanese?
No. So this Japanese woman like was willing to keep everything. But, you know, she really didn't believe in Torah and the Shemayim, and she didn't believe any of it. You know, she really believed her old religion, but to make her husband happy. So it's the opposite of Rav Chaim Meiser's problem. Can there be Shemiras mitzvahs without a Kabbalah that the mitzvahs are binding? So Lemaisa, we didn't do a gear at the time, but I just said keep on learning, keep on studying, keep on being exposed. Baruch Hashem, she did convert and is a maimon, you know, so it had a happy ending in that way. But it's an interesting opposite of Rav Chaim Meiser's problem that there's something. Now, the truth is, this is a big problem, by the way, with forget about Gerim. It's a very big problem within regular Jews. In fact, there's even a word for this. It's called orthoprax. Have you come across the word orthoprax? Orthoprax means orthodox in... See, orthodox. Dox is dea. Orthodox means someone that has the... Or I don't know what the sheresh of ortho is, but basically dox is referring to that you're maimon in the yud gimel ikrei emuna. It's going on what you believe. Orthoprax is the name that they prax means action. It's a coin for people who don't believe anything, but so they keep mitzvahs. Why do they keep mitzvahs? People say they're comfortable. I like the community. You know, my kids go to a day school. Why should I get a bad reputation as a mushkas or whatever it is? But they don't believe. Now, it's not that they consider it worthless. It could be they. I mean, for character, they consider it nice, but they don't say it's certainly not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, chas v'shalom. And a lot of open orthodoxy is there, if not all, is moving in that direction. But even people who there are even yeshivish people. and they write anonymously in blogs. There's even a blog about a rabbi. I don't know what show he is. He claims, it might be fake, I don't know. He says he's the rabbi of a shul. He says he doesn't believe in God, but he says he knows how to give a drasha, he knows how to give a board. He says he gives great mussar. You know, he says he doesn't believe a thing. I mean, what type of world? I mean, we live in it that way. But he says, but he does good. He says people like him, and you know they're inspired. And so he says good. So I guess he's. I mean, how does a person live with? Okay, you mean, Mamre's like living a sheker. Okay, but
open to daps is really stira.
Huh?
Open to daps is really stira.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. So it should be called open orthoprax. That would be the more correct way. So this gets us into a big shaila. They say b'shem Rav Chaim, an apikiris who does a mitzvah. If I do a mitzvah, I put on tefillin, and I'm not maimin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave such a mitzvah, I'm not mekayim the mitzvah. I'm not mekayim the mitzvah. Because if I don't believe this is the tzivoy of Hashem, that's not even totally on the machlokas mitzvah srichas kavanah. Mitzvah srichas kavanah is a machlokas b'shas maisa that you have to have kavanah. So even if I didn't have kavanah, but if you'd ask me, do I believe Hashem commanded it, I would say yeah. This is more than that. If you'd ask me, in fact, that's the whole taina. It's not a taina. I don't want to criticize Chabad for this, but I mean, this is the taina when you stop these guys in the streets and you put on tefillin. In fact, it's a problem we may face in Or Samech even. Now, Lemaisa, you understand that the Kiruv world doesn't operate with this assumption. I mean, even if you forget about Chabad, even in Or Samech, right, a guy may show up who has not yet been a maimon in Torah Min HaShemayim, but we still encourage him to daven, to put on tefillin, to say something. The question is it a bracha levatala? There's even a side that's a bracha levatala. All right, so lemaisa, the poskim say that even if maybe it doesn't count as a mitzvah yet, but it's le'gara mechinach. In other words, if this is an eifen that can be mechanech, so essentially, again, I don't know, only the Abiter can answer this. Meaning, if a guy who's not yet maimon that the mitzvah came from Hashem puts on tefillin, it may be it's not counted in Shemayim. I mean, don't tell the person that, as a mitzvah. But l'chol apachas, it could be justified as a chinuch for a mitzvah. So that would be the hetcher, so to speak, of what we're doing. But the Chabad idea, again, I am not knocking it at all, because, I mean, certainly you can look at it another way. The Chabad says that even if the guy only puts on tefillin once, because the Gemara says, if you never wore tefillin, you're called a Poshea Yisrael Begufan, and there's a special Gehenim. So they taina that we are accomplishing a tremendous great thing if we get a guy to put on tefillin once, because that takes him out of the category of Poshea Yisrael Begufan. So, good, I hear. But the counter taina is, it depends on what the guy is, where the guy is holding. If the guy is taka, a maimon, even if he hasn't worked filling, that's 100% correct. If he's not a maimon, you get the problem that after there's no key in mitzvah, so he's still called a boshei Yisrael begufan. So that's a very interesting shayla. For geirus, it's a shayla, but it's a shayla for a regular yid as well. About an aliyah, about counting for a minyan, about all of these different inyanim. Orthoprax, of course, the problem is orthoprax, you don't even know. Some of them are b'sinah, mamish. Others are more b'farhesia. You know, they say, you know, they don't believe this stuff, but they like the community. In fact, there's a whole subculture of ex-chasidim who have left chasidus. Now, most of them are talking not from at all. I mean, they're not like orthoprax, they've left it, but they taina, as you know, they mamish left it, but they taina, they never found in the secular world a community with such closeness as they have, and they're mamish yearning for that type of chibur and that type of closeness, even though they feel unfortunately that they can't do it. In YCT Chovei Torah, the head Magid Shir is a very interesting guy. Yisachar Katz. He was a Satmar Chassid in Williamsburg. He learned in Brisk for many years, so you know he must know how to learn Satmar to Brisk, and then he became like totally open Orthodox, and like you know he writes Chubas and all sorts of things, women's smicha, you know, all these different things. So he l'chol apachas remains at least on some level Shem and Mitzvahs, although people are now saying open orthodoxy is itself kafira, but all right, without getting into that issue, but that's a very unusual transition. Kemat, every transition out of Hasidus has been mamish.
Gavri chutzal machane. Yeah. He once had a tzad that I think a chuk maybe he even wrote it out, but he could shake a woman's hand and give a hug because everything's created from Hashem.
He's mekel and everything. He now has a shita.
No.
This is certainly not from Brisk, but he brings in like Hasidus Shemachshava to be mekel in halacha. You know, whatever he says. We have to create a spiritual dialogue of halacha. We can't just look at rules anymore. It's different. So he's bringing in Neo Hasidus. It's a whole other thing. Yeah, but okay.
I heard this shaila of someone who doesn't believe is inviting them into sukkah because then you're mamshing machshel them. You're giving them to eat, and because they're not being used to the mitzvah sukkah, so they're eating.
I think that's very shver. I think that's a very, very shver halacha. It would seem to me that the most you could say is he's not mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. It's not. I don't hear I would shayach to say iskilu he's eichel chutz l'sukkah. That's very shver. I would say it's a zero, and I'd be curious if does a mitzvah is a zero. You're not going to say, you know, it's either we ate outside of the sukkah. So that I wouldn't. Well, you know who said that there's such a stuff?
It was in the middle of Sherry. He raised it as a tzad.
Yeah.
Could be said this far after.
Yeah. I don't hear that. But okay, but that's an interesting point.
So the bottom line is that it's not a valid geiris if there's no belief.
It would seem misvara that the ikar is the belief. The belief is even more important than the observance on some level. Okay.
So can I ask just, in the two cases you said we encourage geiris, if they're interbred, does that include if it's a girlfriend?
So this is tricky. It really depends on how serious it is. That's what I'm saying. Meaning to say, there are relationships at the very beginning that are still vulnerable. They can still be broken off. So you don't want to jump the gun and encourage, you know, remaining in a relationship when there's still a good chance that it'll break off. But at some point, and again, I can't tell you b'diyuk what that point is, when you kind of know that this is long-term and this is serious and this is stable, so then even before they get married, this heter would kick in at this point. I can't give you a b'diyuk exactly how much. I will tell you this. I'll just repeat myself. I've had... Unfortunately, in my community of Silver Spring, there are quite a few, not in my shul, but in my community, there were quite a few cases of from college kids. You know, kids from Shomer Shabbos families who go off to college. You know, when you ask them, what is the sakana of college, right? So it used to be, if you ask them in the 19th century, you know, when Jews could first go to college, what's the sakana of college? They say, they'll read Immanuel Kant and become, you know, an apikoris because they read Kant. Yeah, today, nobody reads, no college kid reads Kant, you know. That's too hard. The Nisayon today, like Rav Chanan used to read Kant in the bathroom, in the Beis HaKiseh. Immanuel Kant is a very tief philosopher. So Rav Chanan used it for bathroom reading and the like. So in the 19th century, the issue was intellectual. Today, it's really taiva. It's the taiva, it's the immorality. But I'm going to tell you, a very, very big problem is they get involved with non-Jewish women, or vice versa. They weren't totally from, but you know, kids who are from Shomer Shabbos, whatever, they get involved with Goyim. And sometimes it's a big chaval because the Goyim they get involved in are like the nicest people. The Gra has a Ha'ora.
Yeah, why is that?
Yeah, it's very, very strange. The Gra has a Ha'ora that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes makes Rishayim have beautiful midos. It's part of the Nisayon in life that not have to be nimshach after them. Sometimes the very religious, you know, aren't so nice, and the ones who don't keep the mitzvahs are really nice. And these people are wonderful, wonderful people. I mean, a father was telling me that his son brings home this non-Jewish Irish girl. And the non-Jewish Irish girl, like, you know, gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning to clean the house and set the house and take care of the grandmother. And, you know, like, she does everything in the house. And so Derek Eretz and polite and nice. He says he doesn't know what to do. He says, the son's marrying a guy. You know, what do you do? etc. You know, so this is a real, this is not an insubstantial Nisayon. You know, you think, oh, I gave my kid 12 years of chinuch, day school and high school, so let him go to college. You know, he's 18 years old. Let him go to college already. You know, what's the big deal? You know, this is a real, this is not a Haredi, you know, issue about secular studies or whatever it is. It's a real issue. They meet non-Jewish girls. Usually it's that way. And, you know, they bring them home. And the frum parents then say, what do I do? What do I do with this? You know, what do I do with this?
How can you stop this before it happens?
Well, that's, you know, you don't...
Everybody's going to go to college, no?
Well, you know, well, no, you send your kids to YU or to Touro. You know, you don't send them to those. No, that's not a guarantee either, but that is a major way of stopping it. You know, you can't have it both ways. People, you know, unfortunately, in the modern Orthodox world, parents, you know, they say, I want my kids to have openness. I want them to be exposed to culture. I want all those things. I don't want to already, you know, close the walls. And I hear it. I hear it. I mean, to some degree, I agree with that too. But, you know, you can't have it both ways. People, you know, you put your kids out there in the world, and these things do happen. I mean, they happen in all cases too, but the risks are greatly, greatly increased. You know, you send your kid to a day college, this is what happens. Besides the fact that a lot of the kids stop putting on tefillin, they stop davening every day, I mean, there's a tremendous yerida in college campuses. You would be amazed. Kids from homes. Yeah. Tefillin is like, or davening is like the first thing that goes. They still try to keep Shabbos on some level, but you know. Negiah, Chibuk V'Nishuk, Goy, you know, those things.
They never kept that stuff in the first place.
You're probably right. At least yeah, some of the sexual stuff, you're probably correct. Okay.
Just on Zari. But with the other exception of Zari Yisrael, how far back does Zari Yisrael go?
I don't know. I have to go back. I don't know if you go back. In other words, once you're looking at a father, are we looking back at... Yeah, do you look back 2,000 years ago, there was some Jewish, I mean, listen, they say Hitler had Jewish blood, you know, what are they going to say? Yeah. Just try to encourage, you know. I don't know, let me check, I'll go back to Rav Amsalem Sefer and see exactly what we say with that. Now let me just mention something else, just to chazer over about Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So, issue number one is Rav Chaim Eiser, Kabbalah versus Shemira, that's issue number one. Issue number two is the machlokas of Devarim Shebelev. Now this is very important. Devarim Shebelev is if the person says they're Makabel and the Beis Din thinks that that's Emes, but in their lave they're not Makabel, and then we see later that they were not sincere B'Shas Mais. Now again, B'Shas, if they stop as they break it later, that for sure does not invalidate the Geirus, but let's assume that we could assume that, you know, right after the Geirus, they go and buy a treif hamburger or something.
We did talk about this before.
Yeah, so that's a machlokas, right? So that's a machlokas. Some poskim, Rav Amsalem, brings a lot of poskim that say that Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, and if it looks like a Kabbalah, it is. Rav Yoshev says absolutely not, because since Kabbalah's mitzvah is Ikre Toli Belev, so Memeila Dvarim Shebelev Havi Dvarim. But let me point out that even like Rav Amsalem's Kula, when there's an umdana de muchach b'shas maisa, that he's not sincere, akol meidim, that Dvarim Shebelev Havi Dvarim, right? So you have to be mechalik in those cases. Okay. Now, let me move to another issue, and that is ger katan. Because we've been talking about an adult wants to convert. So you need Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Now, a ger katan is a problem again. If you're going to be a rav in a shul, you will absolutely face this. What happens is, typically, I mean, sometimes it'll happen when you have an intermarried couple and the mother is a goy and they have a kid, etc. I'll talk about that. But the most common scenario of a ger katan is a Jewish couple adopt a non-Jewish child. Now, you may remember that Rav Moshe wrote in a tshuva many, many years ago that although there's a bigger mitzvah to adopt a Jewish child, no question, there's a mitzvah to adopt a Jewish child, give a Jewish child a home, but halachically, it is easier to adopt a goy, because when you adopt a Jewish child, there is a chashash of shtuki v'asufi, meaning maybe the child, God forbid, is a mamzer. That doesn't mean it's not a mitzvah to adopt him, but you know, you'll have a problem if you adopt a non-Jew and you're Megayer, so there's no chashash of mamzerus. Also, by adoption, let me just mention Derech Agav, that one of the very interesting and important shilas of adoption, and this is nogeya whether you adopt a goy and convert him or a Jew, is the halachas of yichud and chibuk v'nishuk. We know, right, that a father can have yichud with his daughter, can kiss his daughter, and a mother can do it with her son. That also applies to grandparents, great-grandparents, etc. The question is, what if I adopt? What are the surim of yichud and chibuk v'nishuk, negiyah? So the majority of paiskim, come out all the paiskim, actually say that the laws of yichud and chibuk v'nishuk, the exception is only for a biological kesher, and adoption is not a biological kesher, and because of that, it will kick in. Now, of course, they don't kick in immediately. I mean, you can, I can kiss your baby, you know, but at whatever age it would kick in. We'll talk about what that age, but you have to treat it, you have to treat your adopted daughter the same way you would treat any other girl. Okay, whatever, we don't have to go into the shear right now. And whatever the shear is for any other girl, that will be the shear for your adopted daughter. And that's both for Yichud and that's for Chibuk v'Nishuk. And the same thing with a mother and a son. Whatever she would do towards any other boy, whatever the shear would be, maybe it's none, would also apply to her. Now, this can create some emotional difficulties, especially when there are natural children as well. I knew a couple that had two adopted boys, and they had biological children. And the mother was a very, very strict woman, and she would hug and kiss some of her children, and she would not hug or kiss the other children. They suffered from it. They did suffer from it. Now, what can you do? I think she was more macho. I think she started at a very young age, which maybe, you know, she didn't have to do, but this is what most posts can say. Unfortunately, it's very difficult. Now,
does it depend when you do
that? No, no. So here I want to say, according to most posts, it does not depend. That's what I'm saying. Rove poskim aser. But it is important to know of the psak of the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Oldenburg. The Tzitz Eliezer tainus that the reason why it is mutter to have chibuk v'nishuk between father and daughter and mother and son is not because they're biologically related. Rather, the Yetzer Hara is not shilate on that which you raised from a baby, at least in a normally healthy person. I mean, there are perverts and molesters around. And therefore the concept is that, right, the whole issue of Chibuk V'Nishuk is it'll come Lidei Aveira. Yichud is because it'll come, or it may come, Lidei Aveira. So Rav Oldenburg said, if the Yetzer Hara is not shilek on that which you raised from infancy, then it's not toloi on whether it's your biological child, it's toloi on whether you raised them from infancy. And therefore Rav Oldenburg paskin, that if you adopted the child from under 1 year old, either from, you know, from birth until 1 year, Rav Oldenburg matters, but he says bedeichik, he doesn't say, because he knows that all the other paiskim aser, but he actually says that it's kedai to be samech lekula if the kids emotionally need this. I have to tell you, l'halacha l'maisa, I myself have normally been samech on the Tzitz Eliezer because, you know, we're a softer generation and kids need chibuk v'nishuk. But again, I have to tell you honestly, most paiskim are not makabel. Now, this raises an interesting hara the other way around. I wonder, what would he say the other way around? Let's say, God forbid, and it happened during wartime, that parents were separated. Let's say you're a soldier, or you're a guy that's missing in action for many years. You left your wife when she was pregnant, and you come back many years later. Paradoxically, this is your biological child, but you didn't raise the child from... So here, I'm just wondering, would Rav Oldenburg use his Svara L'chumra and say, oh, since you didn't raise him from infancy... Now, let me point out that besides the adoption issue, of course, this will be a big issue with step-parents and the like. But essentially, the way Rav Oldenburg would analyze it is that if you're a step-parent, we will treat you like an adoptive parent. Same thing. And Mamela, if you married when the kid was less than a year old, so we would matir. But if you marry when the child is more than a year old, now, again, I don't mean the issue starts right away. The issue doesn't start at 1 year old. But if it's more than 1 year old, so when the child reaches whatever the age is, and we'll talk to later by Rikos what the age is, it would be chal. So step parents and adoptive parents are the same scenario and the like. Now, this raises an interesting horror. That is, let's say you have a this is all by way of a hakdama. Let's say you have a goy who has a child from a Jewish woman, and then the goy converts. You know the goy has no yichus to that child, because a goy abal bat Yisrael has no yichus, or vice versa, if a Jewish man has a child from a non-Jewish woman. He has no yichus to that child, whether the child converts or doesn't convert. So the interesting is, if he has no yichus, there's no kesher, would there be an isser of yichud or negiyah? So here, l'chayra, according to all svaros, there wouldn't be. Because...
Would or would not?
I'm saying there would not be.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is the following. Nobody says that you need halachic yichus. The machlokas is biological connection or nurturing. So mimanifshach, biological connection you have, and nurturing you have. The only thing you're lacking is halachic yichus, but like all poskim, nobody says you need halachic yichus to matcha, right? So I would think in such a case, on the Adaiti, I would think that hakol maidim, in that case, even though you don't have yichus, there would be no isser, right? So we have adoption, we have step-parent, we have the missing in action, and then we have the case of the goy or the goy to the.
Oh, he asked the pasuk like that.
He said he's much
right.
Yes, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. We said even Rabbi Yashiv. So again, you know, one thing for sure: if Rabbi Yashiv is mekel, then for sure it's mekel because he cannot is always machria very much lechumra and the like. Okay, all right. But what we want to talk about again, what we'll save it for next week, is the shaila. So now that you know a little bit about the yich and the giyah of adoption, the issue is going to be giyur of adoption. Now, in theory, I can adopt the guy and not convert him. I don't have to convert. No? That'd be nice. I have a Shabbos guy living at home. You know, there is no. Remember, it's a double problem. This is pashut. Adoption alone, vadai, does not make a child Jewish. That's a double pashut. Adoption is a secular legal procedure. It does nothing at all. Okay, so in theory, you don't have a chiyuv to be megayer, an adopted child, but ruba deruba, I've never heard of a Jewish couple adopting a child who didn't want to make the child Jewish. But the problem is that a lot of the parents who come to you as a rabbi and say, help me convert the child, are themselves not Orthodox, or not Shomer Mitzvos. So the question becomes, I couldn't be megayer them, but the question becomes, is there a leniency or a basis for being megayer a ger katan where the parents are not shomer mitzvahs? Now you might wonder, why are they coming to an Orthodox rabbi? So let them go to a conservative rabbi or whatever it is. The answer is, everybody hears about Israel. Everybody hears, oh, in Israel they don't accept reform conversion. So they all come with this line, I want a conversion. I mean, no, they're not thinking about the Abadi. I want a conversion that will be accepted in the state of Israel. Of course, the good news now, if you want to get out of this, you can say, hey, my conversions aren't accepted in the state of Israel either. I mean, most Orthodox rabbis' conversions are not accepted. So that gives you a way out. You can say, I'm no better than your conservative rabbi. You know, go to him. But we'll discuss. So next week we'll discuss what are the standards for the Gior of Ketanim. And where do you get the Kabbalah's mitzvahs for there? Because that's based on a different yisayit of Zachin li Adam Shalai Befanav. And then I'll move into the final thing is the gear of a pregnant woman. So we're going three levels. An adult, a child, a fetus. Okay, each one has separate separate shaylos. Okay.
If the father never converts, let's say, is he going to Solomon Yechid with a Jewish girl, his daughter?
Yeah, I believe, yes, it's much, even if the father doesn't convert, yeah.
Oh, you mean,
yeah, even if he stays a goy, she can
convert.
There's no
issue.
There's no issue of
Yechid. That's not true. We don't see a goy is automatically a part of
That does not apply to a daughter. That may apply to Yechid with a woman generally. But you're not, as Mana said, we're not Kleshish, Astam, Ovid, Kochavim, to be do incest. Yeah.
If we, Tchila, if I would want to put Tchila on with someone that doesn't believe, I should rather put it on without making a bracha?
There is a makam. There is a makam for that. There is a good. Now again, it all depends on if you think that the bracha would have a his overus of part of chinuch. You can make a chinuch decision.
Yeah,
but it would be a chinuch decision. What would be the best chinuch? It's a big chinuch. It's not because obviously we don't take the position don't help somebody do mitzvahs. But there is a svar that maybe there's no kiyum a mitzvah. it's svar. Oh, by the way, I would be mechalik. I would say that I would make a chilek though. Here's an interesting chilek. This Rav Chaim Shisai that an apiris who does a mitzvah gets no schar because he's not doing it to be Eved Hashem. Some want to be mechalek between Bein Adam Lamakayim and Bein Adam Lechaveiro. Some want to say like this. Bein Adam Lechaveiro, you get schar for the tayelas you created in the world. I mean, let's say, for example, you're a great philanthropist. You give a lot of tzedakah and you help a lot of people, but you don't believe in God. So some want to say that since by Bein Adam Lechaveiro, the ikur is not only that you're serving Hashem, the ikur is the good that you've accomplished in the world, they say the Eibishter will reward even apikorsim. Now, maybe that's not the same as a kiyum mitzvah, but the apikorsim will get... In other words, an apikorsim puts on tefillah and you can say, that's garnished. Well, what's tefillah? I put a black box on my head. If I'm not serving Hashem, what am I doing? But for tzedakah, you can't really say, what am I doing? I'm doing it. I fed 10,000 people. Right.
You can't say
right. So that's the chazal that people say that would apply even to an Eved Avodah Zarah, even because there are rayas that the Avodah Zarah got schar for the taiva that they did.
Oh, so then they want to say it's only Ben Adam Lechaveiro. It doesn't apply Ben Adam Lamakayim.
That's correct because a Ben Adam Lamakayim has a chashivas only because you're serving Hashem. You're not doing anything in the world. You know. Right. Maybe a makubal would say differently. The etzem maisa mitzvah brings bracha, but maybe that's only when you have kavana to serve Hashem. Right? Yeah, but it could be. Someone to say Rav Chaim's Yisayi only applies to Bein Adam Lamakam, not Bein Adam Lechaveiro. Yeah,
it comes out we're not actively pushing away gera. We're just pushing away for their sincerity. Right?
That's what I'm saying. In other words, according to the Chazal that say that we want gerim to come, but we need to be sure they're the right people.
But is there a gemara that says that when one adopts
Yeah. Rav Shlomo Kluger says that you're actually Makayim Piri Viribya through adoption, based on the Gemara called Magadal Yaslam B'Seich Beisai, Maila Lafakas of Kilu Yoldai, you're Makayim Purvu. All the Pesachim say no. They say, Ein Lemaiden Min Agadata, that's an Agadic statement, a spiritual statement. It is not a Kiyam of Piri Viribya. Yeah. Okay.
Since the Yazir is making with Yichud also?
Yeah. For adoption, yeah. Yichud and Chibuk, and for both.
And the Rav left it as a suffix, if according to Sitzelios, you'll be machmir by a biological child.
Well, I'm clearing. My guess is he wouldn't use his swar to be machmir, but I'm just saying it as a possibility. Yeah, I'm leaving it as a question.
That I read a tour for a Moshe recently that he says that there's not even Israel or Banan of touching woman if it's not a Shem Taiva.
Yeah.
So why is anyone saying that you're not allowed to touch a woman, a child, it's not for Taiva?
No. So he says Taiva doesn't mean I want to have intercourse. Taiva means as an expression of affection and love. So. That's the same time. Rav Moshe is talking about bumping into people in a bus. Rav Moshe said, "Do we have marva on that?" Yeah. In other words, taiva doesn't mean the extreme that you're talking about.
So in a case obviously where it's for what the extreme we're talking about, it's being asked with the right stuff. In a case where there's no intention at all on a bus, it's with there's a drabbanan. In a case where it's done out of love, but not love that has anything to do with tznus.
Right.
See, the Rambam is really sick of the Gar Sarva. That's not a. It's a drabanan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But well, the Rambam Shita is that it is the rice if you're doing it the same.
Same
tznus. This is Rabbanan, it's not the same thing.